Welcome to the Fine Food Freedom Podcast. This is your host, Sammy Previtt, registered dietitian, certified intuitive eating counselor, certified personal trainer, and the founder of Fine Food Freedom. Fine Food Freedom is a virtual private practice made up of a team of intuitive eating professionals, and we also just so happen to host this amazing podcast. This podcast is for you if you are ready to remove the guilt and shame associated to food, body, and movement. Our team is dedicated to helping you find food freedom and rediscover how to feel physically, mentally, and emotionally pleasant in your body. Please note that this podcast is for informational and educational purposes only and does not take place of professional therapy or medical care. We have tons and tons of free resources on social media, so I want to invite you to follow along at find.food.freedom on Instagram or Find Food Freedom on TikTok. You can always head over to findfoodfreedomresources.com to find out what current events, specials, and all things Fine Food Freedom that are going on. Also, if you enjoy this podcast, please make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. This helps other people find the podcast that really need it. And when you review, please leave some comments, some questions. Let us know what you want to hear more of. So thank you so much for being here. And we look forward to supporting you and walking alongside you on your food freedom journey. Now, let's get into it. Welcome back to another episode of the Find Food Freedom Podcast. This is your host, Sam Previtt, and I am so excited that you are here right now. So this month, well, last month, we did a lot of podcasts that were fertility related with National Infertility Awareness Week taking place in the end of April and then coming into May with Mother's Day as this month. I felt like there was a lot of like maternal parenting themes that were existing. So if you have not caught up on any of those episodes, would highly recommend. We have so many different ones related to my personal fertility journey, but also we have some that talk about weight and health. And we have a previously recorded What the Actual Fork podcast with Nicola Salmon, who is a fat positive fertility specialist. So they were such great episodes. And I actually have a screenshot right here from the DMs of one of the amazing humans in our online, you know, community that said, girl, these podcast episodes have been touching a sweet part of my heart. It has also given me the push to work on more of my own stuff regarding the topic of fertility. Thank you so much. I don't want to say fear when I get too personal, but I always am trying to find that line to walk with our community of I want to share personal things that are helpful to others. And I want to make sure that the information is relevant and helpful and research-based and going to be helpful with your relationship with food and body. So anytime I kind of take it a different direction, which those episodes did, I always relate it back to the overall or like overarching themes of food and body. And so it's been really, really cool to see such an amazing response and have so many people in the DMs just sharing how helpful it's been. So before we jump into today's, which was a highly requested podcast episode, I put a Q&A up on our Instagram story, and I think we had almost 1,000 people vote on today's topic, how to raise an intuitive eater. And honestly, these are words that I need to hear. And I'm actually really excited to have this conversation because we'll get into all the nuance behind it in a second. I don't want to go deeper just yet. So we're going to get to that. I had put a couple other options up, but this one blew the other three out of the water, which I was really surprised about. That's why I love doing these polls, is because I really want to make sure that the information that I am delivering is relevant to you. I could talk about 100 million different topics related to food and body, and this is one I'm really passionate about, especially now being the mother of a toddler and a new baby. It's definitely definitely relevant in my life. And again, things I need to hear. So I first want to share with you our Find Food Freedom win of the week. This comes from one of our clients who sent me a direct message. She works with one of the providers on our team and has checked her benefits and has 20 sessions with our team completely covered by her insurance. And so she wrote this note to me. She said, "I have done 4 out of my 20 free sessions, and I cannot believe how much of an impact it's already had on me and cannot even fathom who I will be by the end of this year. Seeing your posts, I never thought that I felt shame or restriction around food until diving in and really understanding how that can be present itself. Also, I've been a can't have it in the house kind of girly, and I'm 4 weeks in after 20 years of restricting and binging, and I've had all the things in the house and I don't even think about it. And when I do, I'm just like, do I want that or do I want something else? And I'm totally okay with whatever the answer is." And she put a little laughing emoji. "I'm truly learning so, so, so much and just wanted to share because it's changing my life." Thank you so much to the person who wrote this DM. This is a client that's working with one of our providers, Tori. Tori is one of our providers that she's working with. And it's incredible to get this feedback. You've probably heard me say it before, whether it's on social, whether it's on the podcast, but at the beginning of this year, we started taking insurance. We have grown a team of 13 registered dietitians, certified intuitive eating counselors, all who specialize in eating disorder, disordered eating, intuitive eating, body image, PCOS, diabetes, other medical nutrition, therapy related diseases and conditions. There is no downside to getting your benefits checked. I cannot tell you how many people that I've received direct messages from that are working with our team that had no idea that they had this coverage. They had no idea that they had these benefits. And it's been like this DM, it's been life-changing and it's so cool to see. I have said time and time again on, you know, people ask me, what is the mission of Find Food Freedom? The mission is helping as many people as possible make peace with food and their bodies. And I got to a place where I was like, we can't do this unless we take insurance. But insurance, to be honest, it scared the shit out of me. It was very daunting. It still does scare the shit out of me. But I knew that we couldn't go on any longer without accepting it if we really wanted to help as many people as possible. And so we are actively trying to get, you know, in network with more providers to get licensed in more states. We're licensed in like 18, 19 states right now, I believe. So get your benefits checked. You can do that by going to findfoodfreedomresources.com or click the link in our show notes. You'll see it there where it says like check your benefits. You can go to any of our social media platforms and find it. Again, findfoodfreedomresources.com or head over to Instagram, TikTok, as well as the show notes. And you'll find the link embedded there for you. You just put your state, your insurance provider, and we'll let you know right away if you have eligibility. You'll be able to schedule on the spot, handpick the provider that you want based on their niche, their bio, how you relate to them. And then from there, it's easy peasy. If for any reason you do not get to the scheduling page, it doesn't mean that you don't have benefits, but we just might need some more info. And if you do not have benefits, let's say worst case, like that's not the outcome I want for anyone. If you do not have any coverage, one, we offer extremely discounted rates if you still want to move forward with cash pay per session, or two, we offer you a free month of the Find Food Freedom membership. So if you're someone who's like, I didn't get coverage, I don't have coverage, well, guess what? You still get a free month of support with our team. So we want to help you. If you want to make peace with food, if you want to make peace with your body, please do not sleep on this. Get your benefits checked. Findfoodfreedomresources.com or click the link in our show notes. Ooh, let's take a deep breath. All right, so let's get into today's topic, how to raise an intuitive eater. And I actually have a book sitting in front of me called How to Raise an Intuitive Eater. Raising the Next Generation with Food and Body Confidence. This is by Sumner Brooks and Amy Severson. This book here was, what was it, last spring? As a registered dietitian, we have to do a certain amount of continuing education to keep up with that RD credential every 5 years. So you have to do like a certain amount, certain types of continuing education between like live seminars versus self-studies, those kind of things. So this was actually, I already had my daughter at this point. She was not even a year old. And I was like, I should probably read How to Raise an Intuitive Eater. And that's where, like, leading into today's topic, it's funny. So I have a now almost 2-year-old, and even my husband and I were talking the other night at dinner about, you know, how she's going on food strikes and these kind of things. And he's like, well, what do we do? And it's like, whoa, this is not my specialty. I work with adults who are struggling with their relationship with food and body and shame and guilt and all these things. A child's brain and their defiance is a whole different ballgame. So I am actually really excited that I got to dust this book off again, bring it out, talk about it, and to talk with you all, because not only do I have like the dietitian side of my brain where I want to dive in with as much as I can help with, I'm going to also provide resources of people who specialize in pediatrics, right? Raising kids to be intuitive eaters, because that's what's been most helpful to me, is following the accounts that this is the only thing that they do. And then also, you know, providing a little bit of verbiage and putting a little bit of thought behind your own childhood. And that, like, again, this is the reflection I do and my team does a lot in session with adults, but that is going to be so helpful when it comes to how to raise an intuitive eater. So I want you to walk away from this episode with very tangible things. I have notes in front of me that I want to make this very, I don't want to say structured, because I'm going to let the conversation flow wherever it flows. If you've been here before, you know, that's kind of the what we do. But I really want you to walk away with some tangible tips. So again, this book, How to Raise an Intuitive Eater, I not only have read it, I'm going to read it again now, and took a test and, you know, got continuing education through it. So it's a great resource. But I want to talk about some other resources as well. So before I get into any of the stuff that I want to offer up, both professionally, personally, I want to get into resources first. So these are colleagues of mine that are really, and you know what? I'm actually only going to give their Instagram accounts, because I want you to literally pull your phone out right now and go follow them on Instagram. Like, that's going to be the most helpful thing. I would give you their first names and their credentials and all of these things, but I think what's going to be most helpful to you is if you can pull out your cell phone right now, and as I am speaking, type these into Instagram and click follow. Some of these are accounts that are going to give you more tangible tips on the actual feeding process. Some of these are going to be accounts that are more so around the language that you use with food and body. And I am sure that there are thousands upon thousands of more amazing dietitians and therapists and all of the amazing people out there that help raise intuitive eaters and help raise body confident kids. These are just some of the ones that I, over the years, have loved their stuff. It's been really helpful for me. It's been helpful for my family. So I want to share them with you. Okay. So first up is the account on Instagram, at morelove.org. And that's like as in O-R-G, morelove.org. Their account, and you know what, while I'm saying these, I'm actually just going to pull them up myself so I can give you, I'm not going to read all their posts. That's the whole, you know, reason of following them. But just to give you a little bit more background. So this account is a parent coach, healing your child and teen's relationship with food and body, free parent resources. What I love about this account is it gives like really great boundaries for parents. It gives really great images of verbiage to use. They have so many free resources on their website, which I think is just so freaking helpful. So that is one I highly, highly recommend. Next up would be Sunny Side Up Nutritionists. Again, that is at Sunny Side Up Nutritionists. These are two anti-diet dietitian moms who believe in feeding kids, believe that feeding kids doesn't need to be complicated. We empower parents to raise kids in homes free of diet culture. Again, ton of amazing graphics, ton of amazing images and just ways to get you thinking differently. I have been on their podcast. They have been on What the Actual Fork podcast, and they are incredible, incredible dietitians. They also have a podcast of their own, and they are seasoned mothers. This is what I love about them. And we've talked about this with them. You know, their kids, I believe, now are in their teens. And as a mom who has a toddler and a baby, I love getting information for moms who have been further in with their kiddos, that have teenagers, that have kids in their 20s, because they have lived experiences that I simply just do not have. And so when you're looking for mothers and specifically dietitians who are going to help you raise intuitive eaters, I think having people who have not only professionally walked the walk, but personally have done that in their parenting is so helpful. So I love Sunny Side Up Nutritionists. Shout out to both of them. They are amazing. Next up, we have Growing Intuitive Eaters. This is growing.intuitive.eaters. This is Dr. Taylor Arnold, who is an amazing dietitian and also has her PhD, and she does great video content. So not as much as the graphics as the other two with verbiage, but more like, hey, what if my kid asks me like what candy does in our body? Like she'll help show you how to respond to that in a way that keeps food neutral. And again, her entire page is dedicated to helping parents navigate these conversations, mealtime, all of this. She also has free courses on YouTube about all of this. So these are the reasons why, like, people may have expected, and I'm going to get into things like that you can actually walk away and do today. But I think the most important thing is like following these resources, because these are professionals who the only thing that their entire organization is dedicated to is raising intuitive eaters and diet-free homes. Okay, next up we have Feeding Littles, and I'm going to pull their account up. This is a massive account. They have 1.8 million followers. So this is about infant feeding and picky eating. So it's a little different. It's not necessarily rooted all in the intuitive eating framework, but I really, really enjoy, again, the aesthetics of their page. They have meal ideas on the page too, which is a little different from the other pages that I shared with you. And I love their page. I believe it also, I know we've interviewed them on our podcast and I should know this, but I believe it's one dietitian and one occupational therapist. I might be wrong. I'm trying to go into their website, but it's not only dietitians that run their account. And they have courses for 6 months up to 10 years. They have, you know, cookbooks, they have resources. They just have really, really great content around food, and there is no shame at all included into their content, which is so important. And then last, but certainly not least, another one of my favorites, again, somebody that we've had on the What the Actual Fork podcast, is the account at kids.eat.in.color. So Kids Eat in Color with periods in between. This is Jennifer Anderson. I absolutely love her images. Again, she gives really great, like, ways to respond to children when they ask you questions. She gives you different examples of fruits versus protein versus fat versus veggies. So there's a little nutrition education there. Again, when looking at Jennifer's account and just even her bio, it's helping your picky kid eat veggies and have a good relationship with food. So she's helping when parents are, you know, come and say like, I cannot get my child to eat any nutrient dense foods. What do I do? She does this from a very, very neutral lens, making sure that we're centering a healthy relationship with food and really just how to feed your kids. Even as a registered dietitian, when you come into parenting, believe it or not, kids don't come with an instruction manual, and feeding your kids does not come with an instruction manual. And there is so much bullshit out there. So these are accounts that have really been helpful to me, not only professionally, but personally, and something that I am always like excited to share these with people, because I think that sometimes people think like, oh, you're a dietitian, you should know everything about feeding everybody. But an infant to a toddler to an adolescent to an adult, like those are very, very different types of clients. And of course, different cognitive levels and relationship with food and lived experiences. And so these are accounts that highly recommend following. Okay, so that's number one. That is number one of how to raise an intuitive eater. Get your resources. Find credentialed, credible resources. I'm going to say that again. Credentialed, credible resources. So not the Crunchy Mom. If you're following the Crunchy Mom on Instagram, let's do a quick unfollow there. We're not trying to have guilt and shame enter the conversation here. We are looking for credentialed, credible resources. Okay, so number two, I think the biggest thing when it comes to how to raise an intuitive eater that I see time and time again on social media or that we get in our DMs is people will say, I've struggled my entire life with my relationship with food or my body or my weight, and I do not want my child to experience that. And I think it's so important to recognize that if you are a parent, and you are saying that, and you're saying, I want something different for my kids. I want them to have a healthy relationship with food. I want them to have a healthy relationship with their body. I do not want them to go through what I have gone through. You recognizing that, you having awareness about that, you saying that makes you an incredible parent, and you are already 50 million steps ahead of so many. And I say this because I think sometimes we can look at the resources and be like, I'm not doing this or I'm not doing that. I'm a terrible mom or I'm a terrible parent. And it's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Let's take a step back. The fact that you are even aware of this, that you want something different for your kids, that you want to end the diet culture bullshit and the generational trauma, and you're saying it ends with me, we're not passing this on. That is huge. That is huge. So please give yourself credit. Like the fact that if you've clicked on this podcast episode, if you are listening to this podcast episode, chances are you are interested in not passing on diet culture bullshit to your kids. And that is huge. Now, what happens is when we are adults, right? When we're humans, not even adults, we all have our own relationship with food and relationship with our body based on our lived experiences, right? How we grew up, what we were taught about food and body, how our parents talked to us about food and body, the media. I mean, we could go on and on and on. So it is so important to recognize when we are entering this conversation of how to raise an intuitive eater, the most important thing that you can do is work on your own relationship with food and body. I'm going to say it one more time. If you want to raise an intuitive eater and a kid that is very confident in their body, the most important thing that you can do actually has nothing to do with the adult-child relationship. It is working on your own relationship with food and body. Because as a parent, when you work on your own relationship with food and body, or not as a parent, you don't have to be a parent, as a human, when you work on your own relationship with food and body, that is going to pour into the lives of the others that live closest to you. So if that's roommates, that's a partner, if that's your parents, if that's your family, if that's your kids, like whoever it is, it could be a random roommate off Craigslist. You're going to affect them, because naturally when you cohabitate, right, with other human beings, how you interact with food in your body is going to bleed over, is going to pour over into the other lives around you. Now, we know through the research that a parent's relationship with food and body is one of the most impactful on a child. So we have that research to back that up. And I just cannot stress this enough, because I think it's so often what happens is we are so hyper fixated on not wanting, excuse my language, to fuck up our kids, that we focus on them and their behavior and what they're eating and what they're doing with food. And I'm guilty of this too, when it's like, whoa, 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 let's slow down here. What's my relationship with food and body like? And so when I have parents coming, this is where I want to offer up some like reflective exercises, some journaling prompts for you that are going to be really, really helpful for you to assess your own relationship with food and body, and take what serves you and leave the rest behind. So one, what narrative did you find that your parents had around food and body? So I'm going to say that one more time. What narrative did you find that your parents or your loved ones or your guardians had around food and body? And I want you to journal about this. Just let it flow out. Don't judge yourself. Don't guilt yourself. Don't shame yourself. Like, get a pen and paper out and just let it flow. Like, what are the first memories that you have of your parents talking about food with you, or your parents talking about your body, or your parents talking about their body? Anything that you can think of related to food and body, put it down. And then from there, I want you to kind of take it a step further. And I want you to think about what you see on that page, what was helpful and what was harmful. And then I want you to take it a step further and answer this question. What did you so badly need to hear that wasn't on that page related to food and body? Was it that your body is a good body, that your body is enough, that your body is strong, that your body is capable, that your body is beautiful, that you deserve to eat food, that food is energy, that food is nourishing? So identify the narrative that you grew up with around food and body. From take it that step further, what is helpful, what is harmful? And then answer the question, what did you not hear that you so badly needed to hear? These are reflective questions that I go through with a lot of parents, that it really shows like, oh my gosh, I was starting to replicate subconsciously, I was starting to replicate some of the harmful narratives that I heard as a child that my parents said to me, because I don't want them to struggle with their weight. I don't want them to hate their bodies. I don't want them to have a fucked up relationship with food. But please know that you are doing the best with the resources that you have. And so when we take in this information, when we hear this information, it is not to instill guilt or shame, but it is to be informed to say, okay, now that I have this and I'm realizing this and I'm waking up to this, what can I do? How can I do better now that I know better? And this is such, like, I want to be very clear that what I'm talking about right now is not easy. Like, I don't want this to come off like, oh, you just need to recognize this and just like switch it. We are talking about generational trauma that is baked in to our family systems. And by you listening to this, by you saying like, I do not want to pass this on and I want to raise an intuitive eater, that is some of the, and a body positive child, that is some of the hardest things to do, to recognize your trauma, work through it, not pass it on. Like, you are a badass. And I really, really want that to come through. And so resources were number one. Number two is working on your own relationship with food and body. And I want to go right back to where we started on this episode of, we have a team of 13 registered dietitians and certified intuitive eating counselors who are so incredibly talented and specialize in all different niches, but they all work out of a weight inclusive intuitive eating lens. And so if you are like, I feel so lost and overwhelmed and flailing and out of control and I need help, please know we can support you one-on-one. So get those benefits checked so you can get the support that you need. Again, going to findfoodfreedomresources.com or click the link in the show notes, Instagram, TikTok. Last but not least, I want you to walk away with this tangible item, right? Like one thing that you can start to do right now. We already did, you hopefully followed the resources. Two, we're going to do some reflective exercises. Three, you can start to change your language right here, right now, around food and your body. Food is not morally bad. It doesn't make you a bad person if you eat a donut. It doesn't make you a good person if you eat a salad. There is no morality tied to food. Stop using the words good and bad. Stop using the words cheat meals. You are not a good or bad person for eating certain things. Do foods have different nutritional qualities to them? Absolutely. There are some foods that are more nutritionally dense than others, but that doesn't mean that it is a good food versus bad food. So I want to encourage you to take the words good and bad out of your verbiage related to food. Like, that alone could be the takeaway. No more using the words good and bad related to food. If you're trying to give an example of something that's maybe more nutrient dense, as in it has more vitamins, more fiber, more minerals, totally fine. If you want to say less nutrient dense, maybe it only provides our body with carbohydrates. That doesn't mean it's bad. It's just that it only provides our body with carbohydrates. So I really like to use the words more nutrient dense, less nutrient dense. I don't even like to use the words healthy versus not healthy because I don't agree with that. A donut, for example, is a wonderful source of carbohydrates and provides our body with quick, easy energy. That to me is just a little less nutrient dense than maybe a breakfast that incorporates that donut with an omelet that has eggs, fat, maybe some cheese and veggies baked into it. And now we have more variety. We have more nutrient density. So I don't want to go too far down this rabbit hole because this can be a separate podcast episode in and of itself of neutrality versus nutrient density when it comes to food, or excuse me, morality versus nutrient density. But today I want you to walk away. I'm challenging you to stop using the words good and bad related to food. And by you doing this, especially if you have children, they're going to start removing morality from food, because good and bad, that hooks to morality. We don't need to feel guilt or shame for eating a certain food. So the more we take that out of our language, the less our children hear it, the safer the home becomes, the more neutral the relationship with food becomes. So I feel like I need to almost make a part two because there are so many ways we could continue this conversation, but I really wanted to give you three tangible things: resources, reflective exercises that you can start today to reflect on your own relationship with food and body, because remember, working on that first is going to have a huge impact on your kiddos, and starting to change that language. Remove the morality associated to food. No good or bad, no cheat days. It's food. It is simply food. Thank you so much for being here and listening. And please, please, please shoot me a DM if you enjoyed this episode. Rate, review, subscribe. Let us know what you liked. I am so passionate about talking about, of course, intuitive eating in general and all things related to food and body image. But what a better way to work this in of to raise the next generation to be intuitive eaters so they don't have to go through all the diet culture BS that you and I went through. So again, thank you for being here. If you need more resources, again, not only getting your benefits checked and getting free one-on-one individualized support with our team, but we have free resources and just all the things happening in the Find Food Freedom online community, you can check out over at findfoodfreedomresources.com. And I will see you and talk to you next week. Have a good one. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Find Food Freedom Podcast. Every single time you listen to an episode, it truly makes our dreams come true, helping people make peace with food, body, and movement. If you have not already, please make sure to head over to social media and give us a follow at find.food.freedom on Instagram or Find Food Freedom on TikTok. And if you resonated with today's episode and want more professional support, please head over to findfoodfreedomresources.com. This is where you can get your benefits checked to see if your health insurance will fully cover that one-on-one nutrition counseling with our team. And we also have so many other virtual resources there. So again, that's findfoodfreedomresources.com for all things Find Food Freedom and to get those health insurance benefits checked. If you have not already, I invite you to rate, review, subscribe, like, share this podcast with anybody that you think needs to hear it. The more that you share this podcast, the more that this message of intuitive eating and food freedom will be out in the world, which we so desperately need. Again, thank you for being here. I cannot wait to chat with you again soon on the next episode of the Find Food Freedom Podcast.